I do appreciate everyone praying for my son. For those who don't know, my son, who's 39, lives down in Boise, was snowboarding last Saturday, not yesterday, but the week before, and broke his neck. All he remembers is hitting a backside of bogus basin, hitting something. He was in the air upside down long enough to think this is going to hurt, you know, when he hits. And he was with some friends. I mean, the Lord has watched out over him in so many ways. He was with some friends. When he hit, he shattered his C5 vertebrae and fractured his C6. And he tried to stand up, but his friend said, no, you're going to lay there. And the doctor told him if he had stood up, he would have severed his spinal cord. Ski patrol came. They got him into a life flight. By the time they loaded, I mean, modern medicine, I know we have a lot of problems in this world, but modern medicine, they loaded him on the life flight. When they unloaded him in St. Al's Hospital, it was less than 4 minutes from the top of the mountain down to St. Al's. Well, he had surgery. We found that about late Saturday night. He had surgery that night. They put a cadaver bone in between the two vertebrae because as a cushion, and then put a wire mesh around that. They went through the front right of his throat. It was kind of weird. He had a beard down to here, and he had to shave all that off, so he looked a little bit different. And again, we drove down on Sunday. We took a flying trip down there. My boss just said, go be with your son. We'll take care of things. We got down there. They have three grand boys, a 17, 11, and I think 5 or 6 years old, and two large dogs, about like that. So we go down there, and we were just there to help stabilize the family. His wife stayed with him in the hospital for several days, and he was up walking on Monday. He was up walking on Monday, which was totally amazing. Friends of ours gave us some recliners that he can sleep in because he can't lay down. He has to wear a neck brace, and I mean, it big neck brace for the next 3 to 6 months, and cannot work for the next 3 or 6 months. And he has to wear that neck brace 24/7. So when he showers, get out, and of course, what happens to the neck brace? All the padding gets wet. So somebody has to hold his head still while they take that off, dry it off, change out the pads, and put it back on. So we were down there through the week, and he came home on Wednesday. And, you know, he is doing better. Physically, now he just needs to rest. They were having problems with his pain medications, but he just needs to rest. The problem is he's the sole provider for his family. And he's out of work for the next 3 to 6 months. They were doing good. They had paid all their bills. They had high credit score ratings. And my daughter-in-law was in the on the phone constantly talking to creditors. And only in America, creditors say, well, you have to miss a couple payments before we'll help you. And what does that do to your credit rating? It tanks it. And they're really getting frustrated. And but she's contacted all the agencies you can think of to get help, and that they are getting help. But it's just going to be a tough road for the next 3 to 6 months. A lot of high stress, you know, and being in a house with four adults, three kids, and two big dogs, and our two little dogs. So coming home, I flew home yesterday by myself, walked into a empty house. I was like, wow, it's quiet in here. Kate is staying down there for the week, at least a week. So pray for her and pray for them. He knows they're all have made a profession of faith. So just pray for them that the Lord continues to work in their life, continues to provide. And Kate, I know you're watching, to keep your sanity. But I appreciate all your prayers. I had to come back, one, because I'm preaching today, two, I got to go to work tomorrow. If you'll take your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 14. And I have one question for you today that we're going to look at. And that one question is, are you a fool? Are you a fool? Now, as we get into this message, you'll understand why I'm asking asking that question, but that is my question to you today. Are you a fool? Now, back in the day, probably when Park was, you know, the earth was cooling and Park was still a boy, you know, if somebody called you a fool, what was that? Those were fighting words, weren't they? Those were fighting words. But the Bible has a lot to say about being a fool. All right, in Psalm chapter 14, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come to you today, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And Father, you are very evident in my son's life with your mercy, grace, and goodness. I pray for him that you would heal. I pray for his family, that you would continue to bless and guide them. I pray for my wife. But right now, Lord, I pray for this message. I pray that you would speak through me. Father, you'd get me out of the way. And Father, that you would open the ears of those that are hearing this message. Father, that we would not be fools. Father, that we would be right before you. But Father, I pray for our nation and all the things that are going on. But Father, today here we ask that you move among us, you draw us close. And Father, as already been prayed, I'll pray again. If there's someone here that is not truly born again, Father, today would be the day of their salvation. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what is a fool? Well, if you look up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, this is what he says. One who is destitute of reason or the common powers of understanding, an idiot. Okay. Some persons are born fools and are called natural fools. Others may become fools by some injury done to the brain. In common language, a person who is somewhat deficient in intellect, but not an idiot. Or a person who acts absurdly. They act stupidly. They act contrary to what is best for them. One who does not exercise his reason. One who pursues a course contrary to the dictates of wisdom. I'm sure, who here has ever acted foolishly? Okay? You know? Who has ever watched somebody and you just thought, man, they're a fool. Okay? Third, in Scripture, a fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person. One who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations or prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. So you don't have to be a fool as we commonly think of it. It says here, a fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person or one who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God. That applies to a Christian, doesn't it? Okay. Fourth, a weak Christian, a godly person who has much remaining sin and unbelief in their lives. One who counterfeits folly, a buffoon, a king's fool. Fool, to act like one void of understanding. So that's what a fool is. That's what a fool is. And my question to you today is, are you a fool? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about fools, and I need to turn this on, don't I? All right. Fool is used 73 times in the Bible, 42 in Proverbs alone. 42 times in the Book of Wisdom. The word fools with an S is used 42 times in the Bible, 19 in Proverbs. Foolish is 52 times in the Bible, 13 of those in Proverbs, and folly is used 37 times in the Bible. In Proverbs, we read about the prating fool, the one that's chattered, squeaky, that always, you know, just talks nonsense. The prating fool shall fall. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. Fools make a mock at sin. Every fool will be meddling. Fools hate knowledge. In fact, the Bible tells in Proverbs 9:6, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. In Proverbs chapter 7, we're talking about the strange woman.
talks about he will go after her straightway as a fool to the correction of the stocks. In the New Testament, we read several times where Jesus calls somebody a fool. In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about the careless fool, the foolish who built his house on what? Sinking sand. Now all of us here would say, yeah, that is pretty stupid. The foolish here means to be dull or stupid. That is heedless, morally. I like this word, a blockhead. Okay. And then apparently absurd. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Here we find another use. This is often called the woe chapter, because Jesus used the word woe so many times. But if you look down in verse 17, the Bible says here, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that is sanctified, that sanctifieth the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing that whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift. He was calling them out. He was calling them blind, hypocritical fools. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus here is giving a parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were what? Foolish. They were unprepared. They were careless. They were unprepared for the coming of the bridegroom. In Luke chapter 12, you have the rich materialistic fool who had so much profit from his land that what? He built up barns bigger and put it all in there and said, what? I'm going to rest. I'm going to take it easy because I've been blessed. And what did God say to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, isn't that the thought of many today in this nation? Oh, we got it good. We don't need God. I got to tell you, there's a great reaping of souls in the countries around Ukraine because people have seen the destruction of war, the death, the deprivation, the hunger, their homes destroyed, and then there are missionaries. I know one in Romania, he's seeing hundreds of people getting saved, these refugees. Why? Because they got nothing else, but they see the goodness of God. Then in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, you have on the road to Emmaus where the two disciples see Jesus, and he explains to them, and they're unbelieving, and he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The Apostle Paul wrote about fools or about being foolish. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we read down in verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their what? Foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, hey, stay away from foolish talking. Ephesians chapter 5, he also says that, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. To Timothy and Titus, his two preacher boys, he said, avoid foolish questions. He admonishes the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Foolish Galatians. Now, the majority of what we read about fools in the Bible is negative. But you know, there are some positives to being a fool. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And actually, in this sense, you should be a fool. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 26. Well, let's go back to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is greater than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You should be a fool by preaching the gospel. And not just preaching, but giving forth, proclaiming, witnessing. If you witness to someone else, they're going to think you're foolish. You should be that kind of fool. Let me ask you, are you a fool in that sense? Giving out the gospel? You should be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul here writes, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise in Christ. We are weak, but you're strong. You're honorable, but we are despised. When you start witnessing to people, giving them the gospel, they're going to be like the Epicureans and the Stoics in Acts 17. What's this babbler? What is this strange God that they're putting forth? Be that kind of fool. Be that kind of fool. But that's not the sense I'm talking about today. That's not the sense. Go back to Psalms chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14. Remember our definitions of the word fool, one who has destitute of reason, the common powers of understanding, person who is somewhat deficient in intellect, but not an idiot, person who acts absurdly, one who does not exercise their reason, one who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God. Go back to Psalm chapter 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I see three groups of people in this passage that I want to preach on today. And are you a fool? Well, the first one is very obvious, isn't it? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, we know what those are. Those are atheists. Those are atheists. Those are people who have, their belief is that there is no God. And honestly, as even Brother Grover said, this is a group, growing group. This is a growing group. Stephen Hawking. Before we understand science, it is natural to believe that God created the universe. But now, science offers a more convincing explanation. What I meant by we would know the mind of God is we would know everything that God would know if there were a God, which there isn't. Chance Darrow, an American prestigious lawyer, said this, I don't believe in God because I don't believe in Mother Goose. Well, that's logical. On Facebook, somebody posted this, theology is a subject without an object. Before you can start saying anything about what God is, you must first establish that God is. Well, you're an atheist. You know what? Something I've noticed is atheists spend a lot of time arguing against something they don't believe in. You ever run into that? Some intellects, they don't want God to exist because if there is a God, they're accountable to him. They have to answer to him. You know, we've all heard the saying, maybe you haven't, but those who are air conditioning hell are getting ready to move in. Yeah, there's no God. There's no judgment. There's another group on this called unwitting atheists. I call them unwitting atheists. Now, who are these people? These are people who don't believe in God because they don't know anything about the God of the Bible. They've never been taught. God is just a curse word. Jesus Christ, and it's funny because they will use the name Jesus Christ as an explicative, as a swear word, but know nothing about him. You ever hear somebody curse in the name of Muhammad? No, they don't. They curse in the name of Jesus Christ. They're unwitting atheists. I see this all the time. I work with some of them. They know nothing about the Bible, they know nothing about the Word of God or about God. This group is growing. Humanists. Humanists do not believe in God. They believe it is possible to live a good and fulfilling life without God. Carl Sagan was a humanist. Their belief is God, there is no supernatural God. Essentially, mankind is his own God. In man, man evolved from the immaterial and is responsible for his own destiny. In salvation, salvation consists of fulfilling one's highest potential. There is no life after death, so achieving maximum fulfillment in this life is the highest aim. That's a humanist. Atheists and humanism is very close. While atheists reject a God, a humanist would say that God's not needed to be moral. You have agnostics. Agnostics neither believe nor disbelieve in God. In the strict sense, agnosticism is the view that human reason is incapable of providing sufficient rational grounds to justify either the belief that God exists or that he doesn't exist. Richard Dawkins, I don't know if you've ever heard of that name. He wrote a book in 2006, became an international bestseller, The God Delusion. He said, quote, "I cannot know for certain, but I think God is very improbable. And I live my life on that assumption that he is not there." When asked about, and he has said he's got a very, very slight probability that God does exist, he quipped, "I am agnostic to the extent that I am agnostic about fairies at the bottom of the garden." They're mocking God. Brother Williams, who's a missionary in New Zealand, said 55% of New Zealanders are agnostic. And I don't know where he got it, but he said 24% of Americans are agnostic. A quarter of this country. Now, I would conjecture this morning that no one here today is in that particular group of fools. But you never know. Just the fact that you're here this morning in church wanting to hear the Word of God preached, I would say you're probably not in that group. But if you are, maybe you're listening, I don't know. If you are, I'm going to tell you, the moment you die, the instant right after you die, you are going to believe the same thing that I believe. But you're going to say, man, was I a fool? Was I a fool? Judgment is real. God is real. Hell is real. But salvation is real. That's the first group. Well, what's the second group? Go back to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now notice, that's a big G, right? I find a second group here are fools that are different. They say a God exists, but they deny the God of the Bible. They deny the God of the Bible. You know, if the devil cannot get you to dismiss God entirely, he's going to say, here's some other choices for you. I mean, think about it. The world is full of religions with other gods. You have different pantheons. You have the Greek. You have the Romans. You have Norse. I mean, if you've watched any of the Marvel movies, you know Thor and Loki. Those are Norse gods. You have Mayan. You have Egyptian. You have Native American. In Hinduism, there are 1,000 deities. 1,000 deities. One, and each one represents a certain aspect of the supreme absolute known as Brahman. In Buddhism, they really don't maybe have deities or gods per se, but they have eternal or all-powerful beings that are subject to the same laws as us. And you worship whatever one in your role of enlightenment. One ancient writer wrote that there were over 30,000 gods in the city of Athens. 30,000. One wrote that it was easier to find a god than it was a man in Athens. Acts chapter 17, what do we read about Paul on Mars Hill? What does he say? Hey, you have a statue here to the unknown God. Why did they have one to the unknown God? Because they didn't want to, not worship him and have him come down with wrath. So they just, he's unknown. But Paul used that. In Acts chapter 19, we read where in Ephesus, the whole crowd was into a frenzy, and they what? Shouted, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," for what? 2 hours. Man, you can hardly get Baptists to sing a few songs wholeheartedly. You know, it's interesting. Of over 200 flood myths around the world. Now, we would say, what was the flood? We'd talk about the biblical flood, right? With Noah. Of the 200 flood myths around the world in multiple continents and multiple cultures, 95% of them mention a global flood. These are non-Christian cultures, guys. 70% say a boat served as the sanctuary. And 50% of these myths, the survivors end up on a mountain. Wonder where they got that story. You know, time and time again, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. Time and time again, God warned Israel about not serving other gods. And that is one high on the list is idolatry that God hates. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon, now who was Solomon? Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will what? Turn away your heart after what? Their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. All right, turn down to verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. What would you say Solomon was? He was not wise, he was what? Foolish. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. Now, if you know anything about biblical history, in Molech, you had to pass your babies as an offering. He was foolish. He was foolish. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we read where Israel provoked God to jealousy with strange gods. They sacrificed unto devils, the Bible says, and not to God. So when they're making sacrifices and they're praying to a false god, it says that's the devil. So this group here does not believe, they said there is no God, big G, the God of the Bible. I read a story once of a young man in India. He was a Hindu. And he came to a church, and he went forward to be saved. And he jumped up. He was all smiles, you know, hey, I'm saved. And he was talking to the pastor. He said, I'm so glad. I know I'm going to heaven because I have Jesus too in my life. What did I just say? I have Jesus too also. Pastor said, I don't believe that man ever got saved. Because he was what? He was adding Jesus into the mix. Covering all his bases, if you want to say that. The Bible says what? The Bible says this group is what? Fools. Exodus chapter 20. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, there's a third group. Turn back to Psalm chapter 14. And again, I don't know, I wouldn't say that anybody here is in that group. But now I'm going to start meddling. Now I'm going to start stepping on toes. Psalm chapter 14, and this is the third group. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you have a King James Bible, how is the words there is written in your Bible? It's italicized. Well, what does that mean? That means that the King James translators put the words there is in your Bible. Why? So it could be translated from Hebrew into English. Now, who's ever seen an italicized word before in their Bible? Okay, you ever wonder why it's there? That's the reason. Because languages do not translate straight across. Anybody who knows a different language knows that. Okay. Well, then what's the argument? The argument is, well, hey, then that shouldn't be in the Bible. None of those words shall be in the Bible. You go check a different Bible, they're there, they're just not italicized. So at least the King James is honest. We added those words. But I'm going to take a little liberty. Brother John, I'm going to take a little liberty. Will you allow me that? Let's say there is not in the Bible. Let's read it again. The fool has said in his heart, no, God. Ooh. No, God. You know, the Christian life is one of growing closer to God. Saying no to self, I must decrease, but he must increase. Saying no to self and yes to God. But there are times in our life, in our walk with God, that we are foolish and we say, no, God. God's tapping us on the shoulder. Holy Spirit is talking to us in our heart. We know what God wants us to do, but we say, no. Isn't that kind of foolish? I'm not going to say kind. That's foolish. You're being a fool if you do that. We give excuses, don't we? Oh, I'm busy. I got things to do. But aren't you basically saying no, God? And we say it, we say it in our sanctification. God says, hey, I want you to give this up. I want you to draw closer to me. This is standing in the way. And it, whatever it is, everyone has a different it out there. And God says, hey, I want you to give this up. And we say, no, God, it's my pet sin. No, God, I really don't want to give that up. Can I say you're a fool? I'm a fool. I've done that. I'm a fool. I'm acting against what God, the creator, sustainer of the universe, who saved my soul, who has the best interest in mind for me, and I'm telling him, no. I'm a fool. You're a fool. My life's okay the way it is, God. I don't need you to be any part. No. No. You know, the Bible teaches about tithing. God says, trust me, I can supply all your needs. Doesn't the Bible say that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Supply all your needs according to his what? Riches in glory. And we say, no, God. You know, we've all think, I've heard, the fool and his money are soon parted. It's a secular saying. It's actually based on Proverbs 21:20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Now, I'm not saying you say no to God, I'm not going to tithe. And tithing is 10% of your gross income. And it's just a representation of you giving all to God. But you're saying, God, I trust you. Now, you tithe, that doesn't mean God's going to make you rich. Doesn't mean God's going to come bring the hammer. And if you don't tithe, doesn't mean God's going to bring the hammer down on you. But why say no to God? Can I just say this? God can get his money out of your pocket any way he wants. It's an act of worship. It's an act of trust in the living God. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 4:1 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and to attend to no understanding. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. Is there something in your life that you know God is wanting you to do, and you're saying no? That's being a fool. I've been a fool. I still be a fool sometimes. You know, most of us can quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy might. Okay. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. Yeah, we know that, we say that, but when God says, hey, I want you to go this way, and this is where I clearly said and nudges you, I want you to go this way, I ain't going down there, Lord. No, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. We act foolishly. We act foolishly. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. You know, the world says that, hey, trust in your heart and you'll do fine. No, the Bible says what about the heart? Deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Hey, I want you to go to the altar and get something right. Go down to the altar and get something right. No, God. No, God. We're fools. We're fools. Why are we fools? Because we don't grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We stay as babes in Christ. We want to be used more and more of God, but there are some things in our lives that we don't want to get rid of. Let me ask you this. What does a Band-Aid, a fork, and a diaper have in common? A Band-Aid, a fork, and a diaper. We want a clean one when we first use it. Maybe God wants a clean one. Some things in your life before he really starts using you. Maybe there's something that you're saying no to God. No, God, I'm not doing that. You're being foolish. We say no to God in our service. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Hey, I want you to go witness to that person. I got things to do. What are we basically saying? No, God. No, God. They won't like me. I'm scared. They won't receive it. God help us if we ever think in our mind, they're not worthy of the gospel. Were you? Were you worthy of the gospel? I think the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Christ says, hey, I want you to forgive that person. They've wronged you. I want you to forgive them. No, God, I can't forgive them. Is there someone here today, you know that you need to forgive in your heart and forgive, and you're saying no? You need to go to them. You know God says, hey, go to that person and ask their forgiveness. No, not doing it, God. You're a fool. I'm a fool. What is the one definition? A blockhead? God says, forgive them. Pray for them. No, God, you don't know God. You don't know what they did to me. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He knows what they did to you. He knows the spirit that you have, the spirit that they have. And you know what? It could be that they did it and they didn't even know that they insulted you or did something against you. But you need to forgive them. Don't be a fool. Maybe here today, you know, God's calling you, go to the mission field or be a preacher. No, God. It is scary. I got off of active duty. I got off active duty and my income was cut in half. I didn't even know where I was going to be staying. I didn't have a house. But, you know, that's where faith kicks in, right? That's where faith kicks in. No, God, I don't want to do that. I know you're calling me, Lord, but I don't, no. God, use me. God, I want you to do this. But I don't want to do that, God, no. I want to do what I want to do. No, God. You're being foolish. I'm being a fool. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. God, I want to do something great and big for you. Okay, God says, take out the trash. at the church.
Right. Yep.
Take out the trash. I have seen a deacon at a church walk by a wad of paper on the ground, and we said, hey, doesn't that need to be picked up? And he said, well, I'm a deacon. I don't need to do that. Then you should not be a deacon. But what is he saying? He's saying, no, God, I'm not doing that. He's a fool. We give up blessings. We give up rewards. We pray, Lord, help me put a smile on your face. But no, I'm not doing that. Proverbs 17:21 says, he that begetteth a fool doeth to his sorrow, and the father of fool hath no joy. You ever wonder why? Maybe God is not using you. Maybe you have said no to God so many times that God says, okay, here, I'm putting you on the shelf. I'm going over to this person because they say yes. They're not as talented as them. They don't know the Bible as well as them, but they say yes and allow me to use them. That one was foolish. That one is used of God. Is God calling you to do something today? Is God calling you to maybe to go witness to someone today? You know, relative, friend, coworker, you know that they're on your heart and God has said, hey, I want you to witness to them. Are you being the fool by saying no? Well, there's another group of this. These are people who, they believe in God. They may even come to church. But they're not a Christian. Because they say no to God about salvation. Well, I didn't need to realize that I needed to be saved. Well, can I give you the gospel? The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Go back to Psalm chapter 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Boy, does that sound familiar in Romans chapter 3? Verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I've heard people say, well, I've always been a Christian. And you talk to them, they never have a point of accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. You cannot rely on mom and dad's Christianity to get you into heaven. Every man, every person here, whether it be boy, girl, adult, grandpa, grandma, mom and dad, aunt and uncle, you have to stand before God. Not, well, my preacher was saved, so my mom and dad were saved. My granddaddy was a preacher. No, you answer for yourself if you're saved or not.
Amen.
Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I'm sure most of us here could probably quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's read verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can grow up in church all your life. In fact, we find people who grow up in church all their life, they become vaccinated, they become inoculated to the salvation because what? They've heard it so many times. Oh, I've done that. I've gone to the altar. I've maybe even been baptized. But they never have truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I hope that is not you today. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Has nothing to do with, oh, I was baptized. Has nothing to do with, oh, I'm a good person. Has nothing to do with, I attend church. Has nothing to do with mom and dad were Christians. You must make the decision. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. Amen. With his own blood, that we might have salvation full and free. We all deserve an eternity in hell. But Jesus made a way for us. His mercy and his grace. God's mercy said, hey, you're saved, you don't need to go to hell. That's mercy. God's grace, hey, you're saved, now you get to go to heaven. God offers it. Maybe you've heard the gospel, but it hasn't gone from here to here. A lot of people in church today, they're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. You mentally, it's a, yes, I believe that. I believe it, but you've never, in your heart, asked Jesus to save you. Maybe you know you need to get saved. Maybe you know, and God said, hey, you need to go forward. You need to accept Christ. No, God. No, God. Today is the day of thy salvation. No, God, not today. I got stuff to do. People will think badly about me. No, God. I'm okay. Can I say, if you're in this last group where you're saying no to salvation, that you are the biggest fool of all? The atheists, they don't even believe that there is a God. The other ones, they're worshiping other gods. But then there's this group that they know they need to be saved. You know you need to be saved. And I'm talking to you, whoever it is out there. You know you need to be saved, and you're saying no. You're the biggest fool there is. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, then comes the judgment. You don't even know if you're going home today. Most of us, yeah, I'm going out to eat and then go home, take a nap. You don't even know if you're going to make it out these doors. My son went up snowboarding. Going to have a great time with his friends. His life has changed dramatically. Just like that. You're going to be standing before God when your time is up. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You're going to be standing there. You died. And, he's going to go read through the book. And read the book of life. No, I'm just going to use Brother John as an example. Brother John, your name, or excuse me, not brother, John Jordan, your name is not in there. Huh, what are you going to say? Look again. Look again. I was in church. I was a deacon. I was a preacher. Depart from me, ye that worked iniquity. I never knew you. I would put a bet on the next words out of your mouth are going to be what? What a fool I was. What a fool I was. Look again, Lord. What a fool I was. Don't let that be your answer today. If you can't say for sure that if you died right now, and I'm saying 100% sure, as Brother John prayed earlier, 100% sure that if you died right now, you died on the way home, you died, had a massive coronary, and died right now in your seat, that if you stand before God, He would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. That you say, you're in the book of life. If you don't know that for 100% sure, there's any doubt that if you died today, you'd stand before God and be accepted into heaven. I beg you, don't be a fool. Get it settled. Get it settled. We ask everyone to stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed in the spirit of attitude of prayer. Ask the piano player to just go ahead and start playing softly, if you would, Vicky. I'm going to go back to my question. Are you a fool this morning? I'm not saying you're atheist. I'm not saying you're agnostic. But has God been asking you to do something, and you're saying no? No, God. Has God asked you to forgive somebody? To go to them and make something right. Don't be a fool. Has God prompted you to witness to someone? Don't be a fool. No, God. No. Don't be a fool. Maybe you're here today and God is touching your heart. You need to be saved. I don't know for sure, Brother Stan, that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Be sure. Ask some men in this church, or ladies in this church, how do I get saved? How do I get it settled? Don't say no to God. Don't be a fool this morning. Whatever God is wanting you to do, say, yes, God, I will. I will do that, Lord. Give me the strength. Give me the power. Through your Spirit, I will do that, Lord. I'm scared. My pride's in the way, Lord. Forgive me of my pride and take it away. But if God is prompting you in your heart to do something, get rid of something, accept Him as Savior, don't say no. Don't be a fool.